If you didn't bring a copy of your catechism, this was the night not to bring it. Because I'm going to continue from this morning one more observation on covenant theology and the accomplishment of salvation. I'm trying to land this plane. I don't want too many sermons to go too many sermons. So I thought, you know, I'll just take one more heading this evening and we'll focus on the Lord's Supper with it. This morning we looked at covenant theology and the plan of salvation, trying to remind you of all the things that were preached about that. The covenant of redemption was made before the world began, but it's revealed to us in the Bible in space and time on the earth through the writers of the Old and New Testament. So this plan of salvation predates creation. This plan of salvation is revealed to us. Why do we need salvation? That was the second consideration, covenant theology and the need for salvation. We need salvation because of the violation of the covenant of works by Adam. We are in Adam. Adam was our federal or appointed covenantal head. As he went, so goes the rest of the race. He went south. He fell. He became guilty. And God punishes him with death, and us with the guilt of Adam's sin and the corruption of human nature. Then we considered covenant theology and the revelation of salvation. Salvation is revealed, first of all, in the curse on the serpent in Genesis 3:15, which ends up being a promise, a skull-crushing seed of the woman promise, that is, by farther steps unveiled in the Old Testament until the promise is fully discovered in the New Testament, in the revelation connected to the incarnation, sufferings, and glory of Christ. Those are the three considerations this morning in light of the 23 other sermons. And this evening, covenant theology and the accomplishment of salvation. You can turn, if you have a Bible, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We've been reading through Hebrews, so this kind of fits with it. The accomplishment of salvation. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12, and we're going to concentrate on verse 12. But when Christ, notice the word but, this is a contrast, with Christ as our high priest, and the high priest according to the old covenant system. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, the good things to come are that to which the old covenant system pointed to, the things of Christ. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, here's the contrast, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, not once every year, after obtaining eternal redemption. So Hebrews 9:12 assures us that Christ obtained eternal redemption for us through his blood. That's the accomplishment of salvation, and it's connected to the inauguration of this new or eternal covenant. He paid the price that we owed, in other words. We owe God God's justice something. We owe God's justice righteousness according to his law. We owed God's justice punishment because we violated it. Christ, through his blood, his life unto death obedience, pays for that. And he gets what he pays for. He paid for the redemption of his people. He gets his people. Redemption, that is, salvation from all the effects and all the consequences of sin, is something that has already been accomplished. It's now being applied, but it's already accomplished. We don't have to accomplish things in order to get salvation, to get forgiveness of sins and eternal life. These things are gifts to us, not responsibilities for us. We are not responsible to accomplish eternal redemption for ourselves. We are not responsible to assist Christ in order to attain eternal redemption for us. We are not responsible, as far as the basis of the obtaining of eternal redemption, we are not responsible for anything. We can't do it. It's already done. He did it. Now, in Hebrews 9:12, Christ's priestly office is compared with the high priests of old in various ways. First of all, notice that Christ offered his own blood, not that of bulls and goats, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. This is the basis for his entrance into heaven was his own blood, his own, which is sometimes a has a larger meaning than just the shed blood itself, but everything connected to his life unto death obedience. It wasn't the blood of bulls or goats or calves, it was his own blood. Notice Hebrews 9, 6 and following. Now, when these things have been so prepared, talking about the old priests again, the priesthood of the old covenant, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second only, the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol, all that stuff was a symbol for the present time, the time of Christ. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. How do we know that? Because they had to repeat them over and over and over and over and over again. But Christ offered his own blood, not that of bulls and goats. Second, Christ entered heaven. I think that's what it means here, entered the holy place. It doesn't mean he entered the holy place, the Holy of Holies on the physical temple on the earth. The Holy of Holies in the physical temple on the earth was a symbol for something. It was a symbol for the special presence of God. And the special presence of God can be symbolized on the earth, but it's a symbol of some reality. And that would be the heaven of heavens, where the glory of God, we're creatures here speaking here, where the glory of God is manifested to creatures, angels and disembodied souls that are with the Lord. That's where I think what this means, he entered, he ascended into heaven once for all on the basis of having accomplished redemption, eternal redemption through his blood. Christ entered heaven itself upon his ascension. He did not enter an earthly temple. And he entered the holy place once for all, not once a year. Remember I said this is a contrast here. Notice he says, entered the holy place once for all. The priests of the old order entered the holy place once a year. They brought blood with them to cover their own sins and the sins of the people. But notice Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself. So 9:24 kind of helps explain 9:12. What does it mean that he entered the holy place? Heaven itself. John Owen says, this he did once only. In the foregoing description of the service of the high priest, he shows how he went into the holy place once every year. And the repetition of this service every year proved its imperfection. In opposition hereunto, our high priest entered once only into the holy place, a full demonstration that this one sacrifice had fully expiated the sins of the church. Okay, so this is like a royal privilege of Christ to enter into heaven because he accomplished redemption on the earth. Now he starts his heavenly session where the application of this redemption comes to us. Third, notice from Hebrews 9:12, he obtained eternal redemption. He did not obtain a symbolic covering to be repeated yearly, and therefore it only lasted once a year. He obtained eternal redemption, or we could say he entered the holy place once for all after obtaining eternal redemption. You know that some people, not many, but some people throughout the history of the church, I think there are still some people that believe this, that believe that Christ took in a vial or something, some of his blood up into heaven to present to the Father. But his blood was already shed. It didn't need to be brought to heaven. It's what his blood did, what his death did, what it signified, what it accomplished is what is important, not the physical substance of blood itself. But here it is. He entered the holy place once for all after obtaining eternal redemption. He didn't obtain a symbol that covered people for a period of time. He obtained eternal redemption. And after having obtained it, then he went to heaven. He entered the holy place. Not that his priestly work was finished, but that his priestly work as far as sacrifice was finished. He continues the priestly work of intercession, for instance, and the application of the benefits of his priestly work of death from heaven. Hence, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Here's John Owen again. He obtained effectually eternal redemption by the price of his blood. And it is mentioned in a tense denoting the time past to signify that he had thus obtained eternal redemption before he entered into the holy place. Okay? So this, the work of obtaining eternal redemption is a done deal on the earth prior to the ascension. There is no continued work either by Christ or the Holy Spirit or the church or earthly priests that continue the work of obtaining redemption. Okay? It's done. We don't have to re-crucify him, re-sacrifice him. It was done once for all. Eternal redemption means that those persons purchased from the captivity and bondage of sin will enjoy the benefits of this purchase or redemption forever. It's not doesn't just cover us for 1 year at a time. We're covered forever. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased by the Lord of glory. We're his prized possession, and we get all the benefits he won for us forever. We get them spaced out, okay, temporally, but we get them all. Now, though salvation was promised from before the foundation of the world, and though it was promised in the Old Testament in various ways and at various times, it was not accomplished until the Son of God came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. It is Jesus' finished work that is the exclusive or sole basis for our salvation and eternal happiness. Let me say that again because it's pretty important. It is Jesus' finished work that is the exclusive or sole basis for our salvation and eternal happiness. Exclusive, that means no other things can intrude and be a part of accomplishing this. Jesus Christ fully accomplished our salvation in pursuit of the blessings of the new or eternal covenant while on this earth. As far as the work of accomplishing redemption, it's done. Our Lord's life unto death obedience was rewarded with resurrection life or eternal life. And so that all that is necessary as far as the ground of salvation goes is done, is completed, is finished, is accomplished. And he did it without our help. Christ accomplished it without our help and without our assistance. That means that we do nothing in terms of accomplishing something for which God in turn rewards us with eternal life. See that? We do nothing in terms of accomplishing something like obeying a law or laws for which God in turn rewards us with eternal life. We don't win eternal life. We don't merit it. It was won and merited for us by another. Christ attained it for us and for our salvation. Matter of fact, we sing this in hymn 174. Man's work faileth, Christ's availeth. He is all our righteousness. He, our Savior, has forever set us free from dire distress. Through his merit, we inherit light and peace and happiness. So, my conclusion is this. Understanding the covenants of the Bible helps us understand the accomplishment of redemption by Christ for us. And it should make us very grateful, very thankful, and very humbled as well. He has done it. Redemption is accomplished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that the Lord Jesus, having obtained eternal redemption, entered into heaven, a victorious king over the devil and death and sin and hell itself. As the old writer said, the death of death in the death occurred in the death of Christ. And we thank you that redemption isn't up to him mostly and us a little, 50-50, and even worse, all up to us. The gospel is good news that it was all up to him, and he has done what it's taken to earn for us eternal redemption. We thank you for this. We pray for your blessings as we sing your praises and celebrate the supper together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.